Church, the sound of my voice, I thank God for the gifts. All the gifts are in earthen vessels. Christ was God's gift to mankind. He had to take on a body. Say amen. Don't look at nobody in shame. Look at somebody to be in somebody. And I want to continue with last Sunday with a little bit different jingle to it. The message, the title, Freedom, Not Just For Me, Not Just For Me, But Thee. That's what this country was founded on, was the gospel, the good news, the word of God in men, inspired by men to separate from the enemy, a tyrant by the name of King George from Britain. But then we also got set free by the old Slewfoot, the devil, that has bound mankind from the beginning. After, when I say from the beginning, when Adam sinned, that would be the beginning, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that's when we lost our freedom in Christ. That's when we lost our freedom in God. That's when we died. Mankind died spiritually then. But we've had another experience since then. It was over 2,000 years ago, and it was Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And that's when freedom rang. I said, that's when freedom rang through all the ages. And it's still ringing. You know what one of the major rings of the devil is? And Wayne Honeycutt, I want you to hear this before you go. One of the dinner bell for the church is signs and wonder. You're looking at a sign and a wonder out there. See, he's up here, he's playing by faith. His body's in pain, but he's a sign and a wonder because he's overcome. He's an overcomer. He's leaving to go get checked out. Before you get checked out, you've already checked in to the kingdom, to Jesus, and your victory is at hand. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you. As Wayne goes out, Father God, we thank you. He goes out. He's not going to victory. He's coming from victory. So, Father, we thank you right now. Every desire, every need in his life, physically, spiritually, financially, and socially, has already been met. And as a church, we agree that he's going to get some pain relieved, Father. Whatever the problem is, Lord, if there is a problem that man needs to see it to fix it, we give you the praise right now for giving us gifts, putting men that have gifts to find out what's going on with our body. But Lord, we thank you for his healing right now, manifesting in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. We look for a good report. Hallelujah. Another gift God has sent for a specific time and place. Hallelujah. What do? We walk by faith, not by sight. And we hold fast. We hold fast to that confession that we just prayed. But not just that. Give God our words, and when we give him his words back to him, that's called a covenant. And he takes the weak things in our life and he makes them strong. He's our strong tower. So freedom is not just for me, it's for thee. John 3:14-17, just to summarize, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him, he is God, but the world through God might be saved from this world, from the devil's hell. You could just go ahead and put that in there. So these verses speak of how we've been set free from death, which the wages of sin is what? Death. Jesus became sin. He became sin. He became death, separated from God, so that we could never be separated from God if we put our faith in his sacrifice. What I want to talk about today, I'll say it and then you can ask it. Jesus is enough. Is Jesus enough? Jesus is enough. I don't need to add my stuff because Jesus is enough. When I say my stuff, I'm talking about my works. There's nothing I can do to works the work of God except believe in him. Believe in Jesus. All my works, like Tammy sang about, prophesied this morning, all of our works of the flesh, if it's of the flesh, is just filthy rags. But Jesus came and my righteousness is as filthy rags, but he took my filthy rags and gave me his righteousness. And there's nothing I got to do except just believe and put my whole being, my whole understanding in the gospel. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they walked and they talked with the Son of Man who displayed, I'm not only the Son of Man, I am the Son of God. And Jesus said, I will manifest it on the cross. Because he had to become a man to become sin, to die, to go to the center of the earth where all those that died faithfully in Christ were in Abraham's bosom. They had a covenant with God. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. And Jesus came back to fulfill it. Amen. He did it by faith, by trusting his Father. Jesus did it by faith. Jesus had to walk through this Bible just like we got to walk through it, by faith. And then one day he went to the church by faith and read the scriptures where it was written, and it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the year of Jubilee. And when Jesus read it, he didn't just read it. He said, I am that scripture. Hallelujah. Jesus found himself in the Word. The Word found the Word. And then he not only found it, he declared, he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Jesus is enough. So you need to say, we need to say, enough is enough to the bad stuff. Because the good stuff has came. And we're going to have to say that till we breathe our last breath. And then we see him as he is face to face. But until then, I just see things dimly in my eyes, but my eyes ain't getting me to heaven. My faith in Jesus is. My eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. They sung it. Amen. They sung it by faith when they were in war because they knew they had a victory. It was in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This a preach. God's made me a preacher. Amen. Jesus is a preacher, and he's also a teacher. I got a teacher in here. Her name's Ruthie. Next week, we'll be moving her into her place. Her place. Her place of employment. We've been confessing. She's been confessing. Her place of a house, of a place. Car. She's got it all. You know what? They even gave her a raise before she's even got there. She got the job at this amount, and they raised it up to $2,000 before she even That's God. That's covenant. I didn't have that covenant. I wasn't blessed like she was because I didn't have a covenant. I wasn't serving Jesus. But now's the time to get in. Amen. You don't have to do the catching up. He'll do that. Because he said in the end times, he said the reaper's going to overtake the sower. So get in. Amen. Get in now. There's coming a time, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Holy Ghost, he's going to stay here, but the church is getting out before the son of perdition, before the old devil, before the Antichrist can rise. We rising up out of this mess. But until then, we got an army going forth. That's what we heard. To conquer and conquer for Jesus, for King Jesus. We're not just hobbling along for Jesus. No, we standing strong, marching forward, and we're getting our land back. We're getting our healing back. Come on. Because Jesus has got your back. And he's alive. Not only did I sing it, I hummed it all week. Celebrate Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. Now to the sinner man that don't believe, it don't change it. He's still alive. They just need to believe it. And then God will make them come alive. Their finances will come alive. Main thing is, before I came to church this morning, I got on my phone and I set the temperature for 71 because it's hot outside. You know when I got here? It was 71 degrees in here. 22 years ago, I set my faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to meet him one day. And everything was fine that day. When I confessed Jesus, he became my Lord that day. I got saved that day and everything is fine. My future's fine. It's secured. It's anchored in Christ. But one day I'm going to sit. It's going to be manifested. I'm going to see it. I'm not only going to believe it. I believe it now. I'm going to see him as he is. And he's not disfigured now on a cross. He's been glorified. Mary came to take care of the body, but that body was changed. And she showed up and she didn't even know that was her Lord until he spoke her name. When Jesus calls your name, say yes, Lord. Amen. And he'll change your body one day to be like his body. See, until he returns, until we meet him in the air, until all things come to pass, till the days of the Gentiles be fulfilled, this body ain't looking too good. But I'm not looking at the body. I'm looking to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of my faith, and he said he's going to take care of my body. Not only then will it be glorified, but now it can be sanctified. Amen. That means I'm still filled with his Holy Ghost. And if when something's hurting, he can change it. Because I done told the Lord, I had a conversation, Lord, if you want me, I know you want me to preach this gospel, and I want to live to be at least old age. Y'all thought I was going to give you a number, didn't you? Y'all were waiting. Old age. He said he'll satisfy me with, I'll tell you another, long life. Now, you need to figure out what it is. 56 ain't it. That ain't long. I'll just put Moses as a standard. That's a good one. 120, that's a good standard. Amen. And he was strong. He wasn't blind. He wasn't dim-eyed. He didn't have osteoporosis. He climbed a mountain. And there he went. He got as high as he could. And then the Most High showed up and said, I'll get you the rest of the way, Moses. Come on up. He said, I'll take care of the rest. You did what you could do in the flesh. You climbed a mountain, but you can't get to heaven but by me. Amen. He never saw. Come on. Come on. Moses. He was a man of faith. Hallelujah. Is Jesus enough? Is he enough? Would God send his... Now, I'm going to give Andrew Womack credit to this, too. This is a teaching he taught, but I'm going to teach it the way the Holy Ghost gives it to me. Why? Andrew's an awesome teacher. He's sent by God. Amen? He's one of his disciples, and God turned him. God made him a teacher. So I had one written out. I had part two written out, but then I read what Andrew said, and then I showed up here. I said, I know what I need to say. Jesus is enough. Because there's a lot of stuff going on, but Jesus is enough. And this is going to help us. Would God send his only son to bear our sin, becoming sin itself, and then judge Jesus without mercy for that sin if his sacrifice wasn't enough? No. Yet many Christians, and I've heard some, been around some, didn't know they were Christians back then. Really hard to tell by the way they were talking and by the way they were walking. I'm not naming names. I'm just naming what I saw. Yet many Christians act as though it wasn't enough and continue to believe God is withholding his blessing because of our sin. It's time to learn the truth. And Jesus said, if you're my disciples, indeed, you shall know the truth, his word, and this truth will make you free. And it's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know. Because you can hear a lot of people saying this is the truth, and it ain't the truth. Because this word shows you what the truth is. It don't change. The truth don't change. You can't change it. You can't change it to make your theology right. Amen. So just listen to this morning. Religions is what you try to do to get to God. A relationship is what Jesus did to get you to God. Now, that's a true religion, what Jesus did. I believe he was God, his son, his only son. Religious traditions and widely accepted teachings have become the basis of their beliefs rather than the Bible. I'm talking about religions other than Christianity. And even though some Christians, they ain't all up here right. Amen. They need our help. They need our help. God said, go teach, not the world, my faith. Go teach my people faith. Amen? Now, the world needs to hear this faith message too, but they got to get born again to understand it. And then once you get born again, you got to read it for it to be revealed to you. And then you can understand it. See, unless God reveal it to you, I mean, you understand there's a difference between information and revelation. When God revealed to me his spirit, he manifested his power. And he took my cusser out. I don't cuss no more. He took my desire to drink out. I don't drink no more. God manifested. And see, I've got an experience plus the word. I don't have an argument. You can't argue my experience because you ain't even experienced it. But you can enjoy it if you'll just get in the water. Amen. Just get in Jesus. Hallelujah. Religious traditions and widely accepted teachings have become the basis of beliefs rather than the Bible. The results are obvious. Their relationship with Christ is profiting them little or at very least less than God intended. These are people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior. Thank God we're on our way to heaven. They've called him Lord. They called him Savior. I did that before, but I never made him my Lord. I want him to Lord over every area of my life. Lord and Savior. Yet they can't get healed. They're unhappy, depressed, fearful, and full of unbelief. That's what happened to the children of Israel. God wasn't putting them on a manna diet to punish them on. He was putting them on a manna diet to get Egypt out of them. Because they were relying on what Pharaoh could bring up out of the ground. But God said, I want to give you what comes from heaven, not from the ground. Manna came from heaven. It was the bread of life, angels' food. Pharaoh couldn't give no angels' food. Now, your body might look a little fat, but God, he was fasting them for the promised land. For the promised land. And God wasn't going to grow it for them. He was going to bless it, and they were going to put the seed in the ground. And he was going to bless the work of their hands. That's God's intention. See, a miracle is great when you need it, but God, the biggest thing, the most important thing is he wants to bless you. In other words, the blessing, I want to live by the blessing instead of miracles. I don't want to go from tragedy to tragedy. I want to go from glory to glory. And that takes faith, and that takes obedience, and it takes being submitted to God and his word, not what I think it says, but what it says, period. That's quiet right there, yeah. Let that soak in you a little bit. What has he said? Because he's tight and he's right. And Jack, see, you don't have to go to the cemetery to be a preacher. You need, or seminary. Did I say cemetery? You? Am I interpreting some dreams here? But you know, God doesn't judge. No, man, you notice you had that dream and all the tombstones, but there wasn't no name. See, there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. But there's a lot of dead people. A lot of them ain't in the grave. They're just walking dead. They walk in corpses. But God calls them free. He set them free. Jesus set them free. He said it came to his own, but his own wouldn't receive him. But those that came to him, those become sons of God. Amen. When we come to Jesus, we become a son and a daughter of God. And those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. So think about this. If we're conscious of sin, then we truly don't understand the grace message. If you came to church this morning thinking about all the bad you did yesterday, we don't have a revelation of grace. I'm talking about to the Christian. To those that have put their faith in the atoning work of Christ Jesus. It sounds radical, but it's true. But that is totally different than the way most Christians think. You've been around them, and sometimes you don't like to go around them, even though Jesus said, be a witness. You're like, Lord, but they don't. I'll just stop right there. Amen. He didn't say, but. Jesus didn't say, but. He said, love them, even when they're not lovely. He said, bless your enemies. Pray for those that are despitefully. Lord, is that what the law says? So it's different than what most of us have been told, but this is what God's word declares. God's not imputing or laying our sin on our account anymore. He's not imputing. Imputing means he's putting it to your account. That was the Old Testament. You can't mix oil and water in a vehicle. It'll go putter, 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 putter. And then you'll go to whatever mechanic you need to go to. You might be in trouble. You might have messed up some stuff. You might have to get that car, have to get born again. Amen. You can't mix the law and grace. They don't coexist together. You see the bumper sticker. Christians, we can't coexist with every religion in the world. We are different. We can't bring a God message to if we're coinciding with every darkness that's in this earth. we've heard a message here. It's time for the church to wake up. God's shaking some things, waking us up. That don't mean we don't love them and preach the gospel to them, but we don't believe in their doctrines. Because it's a lie. It's deception. God's not holding or imputing our sins against us. And that's in 2 Corinthians 5:19. And it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, too. Reconciling, bringing back. If you reconcile a till, when they give you a till at the grocery store or wherever you're in retail business, usually it starts with $200. At the end of the day, they're going to take all the cash out and they're going to reconcile. They're going to bring it back to $200. And what you made above that is a profit or a loss. If you stuck something in your pocket, that ain't good. Because somebody's got to give an account for it. And if you stole it, you got to give an account for it. Well, my everlasting life got stolen from the devil, but Jesus made account for it. I couldn't go to Adam. He was in Abraham's bosom. I had to go to Jesus. See, I get ahead of myself. I'm going back to Christ's day, and I wasn't there, so I better read it the way the scripture says. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world, for God so loved the world, to himself, not imputing their sins. Come on, that's past, present, and future. And we got to believe in all that because I wasn't there back then. But when not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He took my transgression and gave me his reconciliation. A word of reconciliation. You need to have more than just one word of reconciliation to the world out here. See, sin consciousness has been ground into us as Christians. And I haven't been with one but 22 years, but thank God I haven't had it ground into me because I've been in the right percolator. Think about take ground coffee and you put it in the percolator and it goes perka perka perk perk perka perk perk. Well, before the sound comes, you have an aroma. When Jesus stepped into my life, I smelled different. Not only was I different, he changed my attitude because the atmosphere of heaven came in me. Some people, when they get around you, they should smell God. They shouldn't smell sickness, disease, all this negativity of the world. They should smell hope. They should smell peace. When they leave you, they're like, I don't want to leave you. Because why? Jesus doesn't leave you. That means hope doesn't leave. Joy doesn't leave. Where is it? It's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? You just need to set the thermostat. Don't move it. That's hard for me sometimes. I like to move it around. Well, God's moving. So that sin conscience, well, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, you're going through this because you didn't pay your tithes Sunday morning, so God can't bless you because you didn't pay your tithes. This is that old sin conscience that speaks to you. These traditions, religious traditions, they get put in you. Grace is not the way of the world. Your employer doesn't hire you by grace and promise to pay you no matter what you do. Is that right, Tammy? He's just going to pay you no matter if you come in, just sit in the chair and just be lovely all day and sing. He's not going to pay you. He's paying you your expectations based on your performance. In marriage, spouses don't always love each other unconditionally. Can I get a amen? Even in most Christian families, children are either rewarded or punished based on their performance. Now, there's a balance to all this, right? We balance it. So in this earth, almost everything is based on performance. That's what we see, taste, hear, smell, touch. Man, where are you going after to eat? Where are you going after church to eat today? You're going based on your past experiences. And if you went somewhere and the food and the waitress wasn't too kindly, that's probably not on your top 10 list, right? Well, Jesus is on my top of the list, and that's as far as, I don't look nowhere else when I want something. I go to Jesus. He's open 24/7, 365. Amen? And there's nothing bad on the list. It's all good. And it won't cost you nothing. It's all been paid for. Come on. Jesus is enough. Amen? You can leave that place rubbing your belly. and singing a song, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Mary Bradford used to sing that song up here when I was teaching her Bible college. One of them old hymnals. It wasn't hard. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all you had to say. Jesus. Jesus. He hears. The Word hears. Amen. Jesus is near. But that performance mentality, it then transfers into religion where we're taught to focus on our sin. However, where God is concerned, it's the totally opposite. Did you ever see Jesus in the gospel when he walked to somebody, blind Bartimaeus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Made a ruckus. Disciples, shut up, old man, shut up. Jesus is trying to heal the blind. Oh, wait a minute, he's a blind person. Blind Bartimaeus, the disciples saying, shut up, you're too loud. I thank God Jesus had ears to hear. And he came to him, and Jesus said, whoa, whoa, no, no, whoa. Bartimaeus, what do you want? Lord! So he called Jesus, not only Savior, but Lord, that I might see. Did Jesus say, well, blind Bartimaeus, have you walked to the church today and paid your tithes? No. Jesus ministered life. He ministered grace. Because he was going to take that sin. Now, I'm not saying sin didn't have a problem in his life. But the man that was going to take sin was on the stage. He was going to take our performance for us. Amen. He was going to take the works of Calvary, the works of cross, the works of a sinless man that obeyed God fully. Amen. So see, the devil wants us to focus on what you haven't done. Jesus wants us to focus on what he has done. See, that's where you got to break it. Break those chains, Jack. Break those chains off of there. And help others get free. Freedom not just for me, but for thee. So when God is concerned, it's the opposite of the kingdom. In fact, sin's not even an issue with God anymore. Based on what you need. It's done been settled. Jesus and the Father had a conversation, and then Jesus fulfilled it on the cross. Amen. Amen. What we need in this earth has already been, it's already been settled. God's will has already been settled. The New Testament, his last will and testament, has been written. It is written. You're free. Free men are free. Free men don't have to go back and pay for the judge setting them free. It's called a double something, double jeopardy, right? Man, even man's got a law, and we want to try to bring our sin, and the devil wants to try to bring it back to your remembrance. Well, you just got a few words for him. Shut up, devil. I'm listening to God. What has God said? See, we need to focus on what God has said, not what the world and the devil said. So God is concerned. It's the opposite. Sin is not an issue. Why? Because our sins are not being imputed. That doesn't say, let me get on. Don't walk out yet. Don't leave me yet. Hang on. They're not even being charged to your account. It's being charged to your sin has been charged to Jesus' account. The sin that you even, when you walk out here, the Bible says even what is sin? What is not sin? Anything that's not of faith is sin. That gets us all. Hallelujah. That covers it all. Anything that's not of faith is sin. But Jesus has paid for that sin. That's how you can have joy. Because sin has been separated from me as far as the east is from the west. But what the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do, it couldn't wipe out the sin conscious, the blood of Christ has. But Jesus is not going to wipe out your mind for you. You've got to renew it. As a Christian, we have to renew our mind. Oh, I call it stinking thinking. Because before Christ, Lazarus stinketh. On the fourth day, he was stinking. But they had called on Jesus. They had called him, Lord. They called him. But what did Jesus do? Did he beckon to every man's call? He said, Father, what would you have me to do? My friend Lazarus is going to die. And the Father said, wait an extra day. Amen. Wait an extra day or 2 days. I think he was 2 or 3 days journey to get to him. The father said, what? Wait upon the Lord. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now he was dead. Lazarus was dead. The disciples thought he was just asleep because Jesus said he's asleep. But they said, no, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's okay. He'll be all right. Jesus said he did. See, keep the gospel simple. If you don't have Jesus, you're spiritually dead. And if you don't come to Jesus, one day you will stink in the grave. You will die and you will be risen again, not to life everlasting, but to hell and damnation forever. That's called the second death. Second death. I heard I got double for my trouble. Jesus took my death. He took the even the pain of death, the sting of death. He took it. I don't even have to experience it, Reed. Why? Because Jesus destroyed death, the destroyer. Who was the creator of death? The devil. His name was Lucifer. See, his name even changed, Jack. It's called the devil, that old serpent, the devil. Well, I'm not on his account anymore. I used to be on. Everything was going. The devil wasn't even going. It was coming to my account because of his account. But thank God Jesus set us free. Amen. I'm going to. Can I reclaim some time this morning on the pulpit? Can I reclaim some? See, I'll test the body out there. If you need to stand up and go to the men's or women's room, just have your freedom or liberty. Give me a little bit. I'll reclaim my time. And it's the Lord's time. Amen. So I know y'all can't argue with him. Freedom, not just for me, but for thee. See, all my sin has been, all your sin, all sin has been put on the Lord's account. And he paid for it. Hebrews 9:11-12 says, but Christ, being become a high priest of good things to come. Good things, having good times in the end times. Tammy said this world's falling apart. True, I like to say it's falling into place. When the world's, everybody's saying it's falling apart, it's just falling into end time prophecy place. And it's falling apart. This world, this earth's got to be changed. It's moaning, it's groaning. You see earthquakes. I hear earthquakes. You can follow different things. They pop up. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions. Why? The earth is even moaning and groaning. It's got to be changed because it's cursed. This earth was cursed. Over 6,000 years ago, when that fall came, the earth was even cursed. It took the earth that long just to get in the state it's in. It ain't because of all of our pollution, which that ain't good. Climate change, it's not what you need to focus on. You need to focus on life change. Amen. Where are you going after this life? Because this world's going to remain. Seed time and harvest is going to remain until God burns it up. Because it's his. It ain't ours. He's gave us stewardship of it, but I can't make it burn up. And there's enough trees, and I don't wake up every morning cutting down a tree thinking I'm not going to have enough air to breathe, because I know my God, he has supplied all of our needs. All the food, there's food shortages being prophesied, being spoken. Yeah, they might come, but if it comes my way, if it comes your way, there's food in my house. There's food in God's house. We'll pray. If it comes down to it, toilet paper will go from one ply to two ply in my house. Come on, toiletry, come on. Amen. In other words, you just keep rolling. It'll just keep coming out. If I can't go to the grocery store and get it, it'll just come off of that roll. Amen. I'm sorry. I just believe in God. Now, you got to get your faith out there. You can't keep pulling on a roll not thinking you're going to have a shortage. You can't pull on it. It's going to run out. But if you're pulling by faith, I know a widow woman, her last little bit of oil, she just kept pouring until she ran out of vessels. And that was more than enough to go pay her debtors. And her son lived graciously. Amen. That's in the Old Testament. We have a better covenant. My toilet paper not going to run out. Amen. That's a better covenant. Hallelujah. I tell you what, they used to have to go to the outhouse. They don't have to do that no more. Running water. We blessed. There's some people that don't have running water. We're blessed. So if words mean anything, wait a minute, I need to finish. Jesus totally paid the bill. Christ being a high priest of good things to come. I lost it right there when I was talking about good things. good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in how many times? Once. Into the holy place, that's in heaven. See, man did it here on earth, but this we're talking about his blood. He walked in the Holy of Holies, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In other words, our sins have been paid for ever. One sacrificed. So if words mean anything, come on, if our words mean anything, think about these words. Jesus entered in once. Once, you know what once means in the Greek? Same thing all means, all. It means once, all. It means he doesn't do it over and over again. When you sin, Jesus doesn't come back on his mercy seat and pull his blood back out. No, he says, Father, forgive them. And he has given us forgiveness. The Lord doesn't have to wait until we repent and then get it under the blood to forgive it. It's forgiven eternally. I'm talking about what Christ has done. And we put our faith in what he has done. Now, that's his part. That's called the grace. I'm saved by grace through faith. That's what I got to do. See, this is a good message, but now I got to bring you into it. Because Jesus didn't die for himself. He was no sinner. He died for us. He died for the world. And by faith, you had to believe on that sacrifice. And that gives you the ability to not sin. Amen. In other words, he takes the want to out. When you truly come to Christ and you truly know and you experience him and the blood and the power of the blood, he takes the want to out. You want to go to church. You don't want to go to the bar no more. That's because he puts in a new heart. See, a lot of people, they're saying they're Christians, have really took a mental descent and not a heart change bypass. That's called being born again. Amen. By the blood, not by the blood, not by the confession of a priest in a booth, but by the confession of the blood in the holy place. Come on, that'll preach. I don't go to no man to confess my sin. I go to the man, Christ Jesus, and he said, forgiven. I don't even have to confess the sin, Randy. I just go to him who took my sin, and he says, you're forgiven. You don't have to sit there and confess every sin. Jesus knows you sinned. That's why he came. That's freedom. That's freedom. You want to know why we confess our sins? 1 John 1:9. It's not in here, but I need to say it. You know why we confess our sin? Because our mind, the condemnation, the devil wants you to think that if I go out here and just accidentally let my flesh loose a little bit and cuss my brother out, the devil wants you to think, well, God, you've sinned. Now here comes destruction. You're going to reap what you sow. No, I'm going to reap what Jesus sowed. That's called mercy. Amen. That's called mercy. But I do need to confess it, not to God, but to me. Because the devil is after me. And once I confess it to me, my conscience is clear. I go to sleep at night. Destruction don't come. Because the blood is on my house. I thought I was a Christian. You sin. Won't you come to church? I'll show you what a Christian is. It ain't a building. It's in Christ. The Christian is in Christ. And David, let's just talk about David a little bit. We might just finish with David. This is going to be part three, I can tell you right now. I'm not going to claim all my time today because I got a few more Sundays because the blaze is away. That just rhymed. It sounded good. But he's coming back. Jesus is coming back, and Reed and Tammy's coming back. Amen. They're going on some good time. David was a man after God's. David committed adultery with another woman. But he was after God's own heart. And David is in heaven with God. That's because David was after God's heart. Amen. He had a covenant with God. And it wasn't based on David's failures. It was based on his obedience to the word. Amen. Not by the flesh, but by his heart. And he didn't have that blood sprinkled yet, the blood of Jesus. But Abraham didn't either. Let's see. He told people that his sister was his wife. Wife, yes, did I have it reversed? That his wife was his sister. Right, that's right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Pastor, straighten me out. So Abraham, the father of faith, lied. Bold-faced lie. But didn't God call him a friend? Called him a friend. So I'm going to trust God. But that's the old covenant. We have a better covenant. We know what the problem was. The problem was the devil. And they didn't have a solution for the devil back then, but we do. So God really holds us more accountable to know what we're doing. Because we have them as our example. Uh-oh. So we better get to reading and studying, because we got a better covenant. We got the name of Jesus. We got the blood of Jesus. So when we sin, we shouldn't even want to be around the appearance of evil, because of our heart, because of the preciousness of the word of God that we've heard. So see, God, he's no respecter of persons, but he does respect faith. And those guys in the Old Testament, they didn't know where their enemy was. They didn't know who the enemy was. They didn't know the devil. They didn't have a revelation of him. They just had a revelation of a covenant of what was passed down to them. And they just believed that. Even though their flesh was contrary, God didn't impute it to them, because he did it because of righteousness. Had a covenant with God. And because of that covenant, the blood speaks. And Jesus came to fulfill those covenants. And by his blood, sin is no longer a problem for us. Amen? So we just need to just thank God for his mercy and for his covenant. Freedom is not just for me, it's for thee. See, we've been given a great price. We've been set free from the sin, past, present, and future, and we need to let other people. Don't focus on, I went down through these lines, you know, you got this generational curse, and you need to break it in the name of Jesus. No, you got a generational blessing. We need to focus on the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich, and he has no sorrow, so it takes care of the generational curses. Don't focus on the curse. Focus on the blessing, the covenant that we have. Now, I'm not saying it's not there, but we don't need to spend all this time breaking these curses. We need to spend some time at the feet of Jesus, knowing that he broke the curse. He became the curse. And now we have been made in his image and in his likeness. That's what we need to focus on. We look like God. We talk like God. We smell like God. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. And God gets the glory. And I'll just end with the story. You want to hear it? It's good. Good story. I might do it in 4 minutes or less or more. That covers it all. Amen. You might get out early. What's early? What time does church start? 10? What time does it stop? Whenever we get done. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where you got to be cautious when you put something online. Services start at 10. And then give them the address. Don't tell them when it ends. Amen. Because, hey, Jesus might come right in the middle of it. He might just come in here and just stop my good sermon and say, when the Holy Ghost gets done. And let's see. See, I won't go that route. Where was I at? Y'all took me out now. Bring me back. A story. Okay. God gets all the glory. Y'all know I still work on appliances. So I get a call Thursday from a niece that's got a friend that's got an appliance problem, and they can't get a technician until the following Tuesday, and her washing machine's broke. Sometimes it pays to know who you know. Amen. So my niece gives me a text, you know, and it's Thursday. My Friday is looking long, hot. So I'm like, I would rather work. I'm not going to tell you where I work at. But let me just continue on with the story. So I said, can she, and I was coming up here to praise and worship that night. I knew that was in line. I said, can she maybe by 8:30 tonight, would she mind if I come over? Because I don't really don't work late on Friday. I like to get out because I'm off on Saturday. I'd rather work late on Thursday on the Sabbath, do double, because I want to rest on Sunday. Just contrasting it there. Anyway, so she said, that'd be fine. So I get there, a friend of a friend. Washing machine's broke. I got the part. It's dark. The washing machine's out on the porch, which is a utility room. And first thing I walk up, lights are on, but nobody's on the porch. I hear a lawnmower mowing in the back with a light on because it's dark. And I walk up and there's a trampoline, and I look and I take a double take. Y'all remember that? Double take, experiment. Remember the commercials you do a double take? There's three, looks like skunks in there. Them skunks. So I'm like, she wouldn't do this on, surely those skunks ain't going to spray me. So by faith, I walked past them, knowing the authority that I have, amen. But them skunks, I ain't never been to nobody's house where they were skunks. I've been doing this for 16 years, and there's skunks on the porch. But sometimes you got to go where the Lord says go. And she came out, you know, I rang the bell, she came out. And I said, them skunks over there, I said, they've been neutered or de-sprayed, right? She goes, oh, yes. She said, I found them on the side of the road. My mama got might have been, you know, dead. One of them was on the little cage, and it was limping. They took it to the surgeon. It had to have one leg decapitated. So we got one skunk out there. He's free. The other one's he's free, but he's catching bugs. He's knocking them down with three legs. Why? He don't know he's lost a leg. He still got that God in intuition to live and eat off of three legs. Come on, somebody need to hear this. So she shows me where the washing machine is, and she's kind of, you know, you got the lights on, bugs come out at night, big bugs, beetle bugs. So I'm in there, and she's swatting bugs kind of off of me. And I said, I'm okay. I said, you know, he's got a Harley Davidson sitting out there. I ride motorcycles. I've been hit by bugs going 60 miles an hour. I'm okay with bugs. As long as, you know, they don't go home with me. That's the main thing. I leave them where they at. Just don't take them home with you. I got enough at home anyway. Fight me when I come in the door, waiting on the lights on, you know, bam, bam. So I get the washing machine fixed and talking and asking. So she's works with my niece. I said, so you work with my niece? And she goes, I used to. She said, I had to quit because I'm battling. Now, I'm sorry. She was telling me this while I'm working on the washing machine with my back to her. And she says, I had to quit because I've got Lyme disease. This lady's maybe 23, 24 years old. Young lady. I've heard about Lyme disease, but I don't focus on it. Don't do research and all that stuff, but I've heard about it. And so she's talking about that, what she can't do anymore. And you know what I'm doing? I'm going to the Father. Lord, yeah, I'm fixing. I know what to do on this machine, but what do you want to do here, Lord? I know what your will is. Help me. So when I get down on the washing machine, I walk out there and say, it's done. You know, and I'll go ahead and call him her fiancé. He comes in there and he sticks some money in my hand. I'm like, no. But you got to receive too, Randy, right? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a pastor, and I know what I can do with this. I can bless somebody with it because, you know, G's going to pay me. I'm going to put the invoice in tomorrow, but it's after hours. So I received it, stuck it in my pocket, and told him, I'm going to bless somebody. I want to do it now. See, they blessed a man of God. So I said, I'll leave the names out. I asked her, just shortly summarize Lyme disease. Because you got to watch sometimes. You get to ask somebody about disease, we can be there 20 minutes. And faith can go downhill just like that. So she told me what Lyme disease, her mom's got it, been on disability for 20 years with it. And they found it in her. It comes like through a tick, sometimes through a tick bite or something like that. Yeah, somebody could tick that. And if you don't know your covenant rights, that's right. See, you bring things home, come on. And you're just in the world, and then the doctor and the veterinarian says, you know, these diseases come through pet and all this stuff. But God, come on, this one we got to bring God into the situation. And she's telling me all this, you know what I'm doing? I'm getting happy on the inside. I'm stirring up the gift of God on the inside. I can't wait for her to quit telling me about Lyme disease. I want to tell her about it. Because she gets to the end, she said, and there's no cure. I said, there's my open door. Boom. I said, I'll leave her name. Can I tell you some good news? And then that joy started coming. I said, I'm a preacher. And I said, I told her a testimony that built her faith about Dallas when he was about two or three years old. Kelsey was about six or seven, riding one of those little scooters down the neighbor's driveway that you go with your feet. Well, his feet got underneath it and come up, and Dallas dislocated his leg. It looked bad, Reed. So me and your mama, we've been praying. We're not against doctors. We just knew Dr. Jesus. So immediately he comes hobbling to mom. I can't remember if I was there, but my faith was there if I wasn't there. But she laid hands, or we laid hands, and we spoke healing to that leg. You're going to go back in place, and pain left because he went playing, hobbling, kind of like that skunk. He had two legs, but anyway, he was hobbling just as bad about the skunk was, Dallas was. I'm telling this story. I said, and then I can't remember. I said it was either a day, a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most. And Kelsey's trying to remember. Mama was here. She'd tell the story right with all the details. But I get to the point. My wife just has a lot more points than we do. Amen. But anyway, Kelsey and Dallas had took in some rabbits. Well, she took in some skunks here that I'm talking to this lady. And I pointed that out in this faith building message you got to do real quick sometimes. Be ready in season, out of season. Be ready to sprinkle them with faith in the Word of God and believe for the supernatural. So I'm telling her that story, and I said they were out feeding the rabbits, and Kelsey was kind of about at her last nerve with this hobbling brother of hers. So Kelsey's ready to get back inside, whether she's going to go watch a Disney movie or it was hot outside, and Dallas was kind of, you know, he was a little slow. Dallas is fast, but he was slow that day. He's hobbling. And Kelsey just kind of says, Dallas, would you hurry up? Sherry was what Mama was watching from the kitchen window. And she saw it with her eyes. She saw the anointing. The prayer of faith had been released, and she saw it manifest. It's like Forrest Gump. Dallas went from a hobble to a pop. It popped in, and he just took off. Probably past Kelsey. I don't know. That boy, his junior year in high school, is the wide receiver that caught the touchdown that went ahead and beat West Roanne, which is their adversary, because of a God faith message that freedom's not just for me, it's for thee. And I told her, blankety blank, that's her name. I said, what God did for my son, he'll do for you right now on this porch with three skunks watching. I didn't say that, but it just sounds good for the story. And they said they got a place that they're thinking about getting married. You know, they got a place up in the mountains. So I said, now, Mr. Such and Such, would you come stand beside your fiance? And I said, because she's going to need you to agree with this because you're going to be around her a lot more than I am. I said, and Jesus is going to take Lyme disease away because it never was yours to begin with. I don't know what they've heard, but I told them what I know. And I put my hands on her shoulder to his shoulder, and I commanded the blessing. And I commanded Lyme disease to die and come out in the name of Jesus. Because I just believe in freedom. And what you got, somebody needs. So I'm working the next day, and they thank me. And I sent her the scripture reference because one thing I told her here at the end, I don't tell this to everybody, but I said, I need to tell you the truth. The symptoms might get worse because I know the devil. He wants you to think what I just prayed ain't working. I said, but he's a liar, and that's all you need to know to tell him. It's when the symptoms, if they even feel like they're worse, say, devil, leave. Jesus has taken, just short and simple. Thank Jesus for your healing. That's what you tell him, because he's the healer. And I left her with that, and then I sent her the scripture reference when I got home, because you need to put that word before your eyes. And I said, and I left a message, and I left that message open for I want to hear the replies. So the next day, as I'm finishing up, I get a text because I told him, you know, I'm a pastor. She goes, thank you for the washing machine. That was the least of my problems. But mainly, thank you for the prayers. That she goes, you didn't come here by accident. And then she said, do you do weddings? And I'm like, praise God. I said, no, I didn't do all that I'm not a big texter. I said, yes, I do weddings. Why? Because that's when that's a blessing of God. And she goes, do you come to Virginia to do weddings? I said, I don't know if I said this, but I'll say it by faith. I said, yes, me and my wife will come and spend a weekend in Virginia and enjoy the weekend. But mainly, see, two people come in covenant with God, but also believe that she can be healed before then. Because, see, you don't have to, and all these little details I don't need to share, that I'm not going to share. Because it ain't about what the flesh looks like at the time. It's about what faith says now. And faith sees them married and walking in the blessings. And I said, Your mother can even receive what you received tonight. She don't have to stay bound. Because, see, that's generational blessing. So don't focus on the curse. Focus on the Word of God and the blessing. That's where freedom is. And I told her we would be agreeing today as a church. And she said, okay. She gave me authority. So let's all agree right now. And I am going to put her name out here because, Jesus, sometimes we just need to know who we're praying for. We don't have no prayer, if you will. No, we pray, no, devil, you dead. Lyme disease, you have no authority over Catherine, because I don't know her last name particularly right now, but her name is Kat with a K, K-A-T. So, Father, we just agree right now. Lord, we are church. We believe in the Word of God. And, Lord, there's power in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just thank you right now. We're not praying a double prayer. We're just getting more prayer on the scene for this Lyme disease and every effect that has affected her and her mother, Alicia. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we put a corporate anointing on it right now, Father God. We stamp it with a corporate anointing to go drive every effect out of her body in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, she'll text me testimonies of, Pastor, you're not going to believe. And I say, yes, I believe. Tell it to me. Father, we just thank you right now. These are things. This is what your word declares, that you confirm your word preached and taught with signs and wonders. You perform it, Lord. I'm not here doing the performance. That's what you get to do. And you're going to receive all the glory. And we thank you right now, Lord. We call it done. And we thank you, Father God, for everything that you have for this couple, that, Lord, we're going to be able to bring them into a covenant with you through marriage. And, Lord, we just thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. And, Father, I speak to your people today. Lord, we thank you for freedom in this place. I thank you, Lord, for meeting the needs of Bootsy at Five Oaks. Lord, that she's a light. And I just thank you right now, Lord, that you just brighten her light with hope. Lord, you continue to send people in that place, Father God, not only for her, but, Lord, she's there for other people. I don't care what age we are, Lord. Your dreams and our spirit have no expiration date. And, Lord, and we just thank you right now, Father God, that Bootsy is blessed. And, Lord, we've got a radio on the way that we're going to take the word and we're going to program it in the radio. And she's going to hit a remote button and she's going to hear the word of God in that place. And that place is going to, the atmosphere is going to change, Lord. And we're believing her mind's going to change. That, Lord, she's got salvation. And there's nothing she needs to do to work it up. She just needs to believe it, so it'll come up. And we're just going to get the word out there, Father God, so it can be in her ears. And, Lord, you're touching her eye and bringing blurred vision to where she can see and read her Bible. That's her desire. She wants to read. But until then, we're going to put the word there where she can hear it. Because we're not giving up. We don't give up. We go forward. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Anybody else in this place need us to agree or pray this morning?
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10:8-10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.